New Zealand's leading health and wellness events company brings you the NZ Spirit podcast.
We are Nikki
and Franco,
the founders of NZ Spirit Festival, Resolution New Year's Eve Festival, and NZ Yoga Day. Join us as we reveal industry secrets, interview local and international thought leaders, musicians, and artists in the sphere of health, well-being, and personal transformation. Welcome to the first episode of the NZ Spirit podcast. We've had so many requests to begin a podcast, and I think it comes from a variety of different people. A lot of people, a variety of different reasons. People are really interested in how to run a festival, how to run a conscious festival. People are interested in why we choose to run conscious festivals or transformational festivals. People are interested in who's playing and who's presenting. And we thought a platform whereby we combine our story, how we began, the beginnings of the seed, the beginnings of the event and the idea, and track our journey and our process to inspire others to step forward with their dreams, because it really is a filling of dreams, right? Fulfilling of dreams for us. And also to really, you know, hype up some excitement and get people really interested in the humans behind the music, the humans behind the workshops, mm-hmm. the humans who are the healers and the food providers, the stage techs, the, you know, everyone that's involved on such a large undertaking. So this podcast is designed to give you insight into our world, our business world, and inspire you to follow a spiritual business, a health and well-being business that is changing lives, but also, you know, enables you to live as well. So yeah, moving into abundance in all sense.
Yeah, totally. This podcast is our new baby. These events that we've been running for almost 4 years now have been affecting thousands of people in a really positive way, and we know that the world is in kind of a shutdown at the moment, and a lot of people aren't able to physically connect as well. And you know, we wanted to put this together to reach out to the world and just talk about the importance of festivals, the importance of gathering, and how this all came about for Nikki and I, running NZ Spirit Festival here in New Zealand, Resolution New Year's Eve Festival, and New Zealand Yoga Day, and a bunch of smaller events as well.
Yeah, I think it's like for everyone overseas, our listeners overseas, you've got this insight into a small country and the festival season that's approaching. We're going to be running the podcast, the episodes featuring, you know, both our own journeys at festivals and our own journeys running festivals. And it's a little insight into how we do things at this part of the world, and some tools and tips and techniques for gathering, for inspiring inspiring stories of overcoming hardships and blockages which you inevitably face in this business. Because, you know, to be honest, where it started for us was not in the traditional events industry. Like, we did not go to university and get massive degrees in events. Franco's university was much more of like a life of university, having left school at 14, right?
Yeah, that's where we should really start and talk about the difference between Nikki and I as people. You know, there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of stuff that was polar opposite to Nikki.
Because we are the co-founders of NZ Spirit, lovers and partners of life, in life as well as in business. All right, so, how did it begin?
Well, I come from a real musical background, singing since I can remember, playing guitar, playing every instrument, and calling in audiences, whether it be the neighbors or the neighbor's cat, to perform to. So that's always been a part of me, because as a performer, you want to be heard. You want to be able to express authentically. And I went down the rock and roll path and partied way too hard. Did way too many things, intoxicants that really didn't help my life. And I went into a real depressed state for years. And I went on antidepressants and followed that kind of journey, which is sounding like a really, really common journey out there these days, of people struggling with loneliness within themselves, inadequacy, and in the rock and roll way of life wasn't helping that. It was damaging that further. So I found a path through yoga, through learning how to meditate and learning just some more kind of soothing styles of music to play for myself to heal. And it was through those ancient modalities of yoga, mantra, and meditation, is where I found other people that were doing that as well, and got to hear about everyone's stories and how different everyone's background is. And Nikki's background is very, very different to mine.
Yeah, totally. I always love your story because the emphasis on personal transformation as a lived experience. I think what makes the festival so compelling and so, you know, a particular grounded quality is because you went through such a large personal transformation. Like, you lived and you experienced, you've actually let go of what was not serving. You've actually stepped into the unknown. And this is what we encourage so many people to do when they sort of step foot in a conscious festival for days of a lifestyle and interacting in ways they've never done before, is really that journey of personal transformation. But yeah, my journey is super different. Like Franco, though, I was forcing anyone possible to watch me do Spice Girls shows or or plays. I tried to put on Les Mis once with my sisters in an afternoon and became super, super frustrated and grumpy. I went to drama school and loved acting. I ran my own dance school in Auckland, which was like a free movement class for 2 to 10-year-olds that had a wait list of a year, all while I was trying to study at university, not in events, but in ancient history and in psychology. And then I kind of left it. I let it go, but I was always fascinated by the creation of a platform for which people come and are either entertained or partake in a form of, yeah, entertainment. And it never left me. And my first transformational festival experience, I kept the bracelet on for a year. And I kept the brochure with all the transformational workshops in my bag, my handbag, for a year as I attended my 9-to-5, thinking, my God, one day I'm going to come back. And one day I'm going to be here. One day I'm going to do something in this. I was so captivated by the whole thing. And I thought, there's more for me here. And of course, that was years before the birth of NZ Spirit. But you were similar.
Going to your first like non-alcohol transformational workshop festival is like getting a crazy amazing bug.
Not one that makes you get diarrhea and vomit and feel bad.
It's like the opposite
more
of that
like,
bug. But when I went to my first transformational festival, I think it was four-day festival, and I couldn't believe the non-alcohol, how different the non-alcohol thing makes an environment. We've traveled a lot around the world and we've seen, how other people live, different cultures. But in New Zealand, there is a huge emphasis on gathering and needing alcohol really amongst the gathering to kind of, lubricate the talk and the ego and everything.
What was that statistic that you said the other day about the amount of New Zealanders who are high functioning alcoholics?
Yeah, like one out of four, I think. One out of four people in New Zealand. There's 4 or 5 million people in New Zealand. About a million of us are drinking every other night, and it's a real shame because we're using drink to escape ourselves. a lot of the time. And very rarely we're using drink to find ourselves. So these festivals where there's not alcohol around, we're shot into this slice of reality and truth and rawness for more truth and reality to come out. And what I found by attending these festivals to begin with and still do is that all that exists is vulnerability and love underneath the maybe fear, underneath anger. I've never seen a fight at a festival like the transformational festivals we run and go to. I see incredible release of energy, and it doesn't always look pretty, but it's done in a workshop, in a way where people are told you can express your emotions here. You can let out a roar. You can dance your ass off. You can sing. You can sing. So many people tell me that they were told as a young person that they've got a horrible voice and they should never sing again. And we listen to that as young people. We tend to stop and really suffocate our voice. What does that do in later in our life when we want to express ourselves truthfully? So those first festivals, right, were hugely poignant for us.
They were hugely important. And I think that seeing them exist and knowing it was possible was a real, granted me a permission to follow a dream when I met Franco that has resulted in where we are now. And in the world right now, health and well-being has got it's never really been more important. We're deeply concerned about the health of our people, but also of our planet. And I think that as health fastly overtakes wealth as being one of the things that people are striving for in life, that no matter how much money you have, your health is this indispensable skill, gift that so deserves acknowledging and nurturing. And we move into also, we really decided that this is not just like a physical health that we're referring to. We're referring to what in New Zealand we call ho ora, or this more holistic view of health and well-being, the mental, the spiritual, the social, as well as the physical. And these are like pillars of a meeting house whereby without these things, one can be really fit, but can also be really sick in the mind or really unwell in the heart or socially really struggling. And after the year of disconnection, we cannot wait to once again drop into a space for 4 days over New Year's when we run Resolution Festival, and again for 4 days in March when we run Spirit Festival, whereby there's all these people who are able together and to have honest conversations, number one, because often that's missing out there. Like, how are you doing, Franco?
Yeah, I'm good.
No, he's not, but like, can he please not tell me that? Because that would might trigger me and I'd rather just like move on and go bank my check.
How many people out there had those wild conversations in the club, right? And, we're going to start a business tomorrow because we just came up with the best idea ever. 13 shots later, you wake up the next day, can't even remember who you even said that to. These spaces, I think the world in general is calling us to be more mature, to get real now and to clean up our act, to clean up our inner world.
Yeah, I think the external is not giving you what you want, it's time to look at the internal. And these workshops at these festivals and the lyrics of the music and the secular focus on religion or spirituality means that there is no favored denomination. It's basically just an exploration of self, and you can go as deep or as light as you like, but you're going to be held accountable by those around you. You're going to have the ability, if you choose, to lean in to other ways of being and eating and seeing and living. and that you're also going to be inspired by others who quit what society has told them is the be-all and end-all and are perhaps are living a more free life. And if we go back to where we began, I mean, this is, we went to these festivals independently, and then there was one where we went and we met, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're at different stages of our lives.
So, of course, we met at a festival as well.
But I had this guy call out to me saying something along the lines of, "Wow, you're a beautiful woman." And I thought, who is this crazy tattooed musician?
What I said was, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." And that was the truth.
Still wow. is. Thank you. It's very kind. But yes, I can't.
She plays it down.
I can't quite remember exactly what it was, but I do remember my judgment, which I'm sorry about, because it was a beautiful moment in reflection. And we sort of said, hi, bye, thank you very much. You know, you go play your guitar. I'll go back to my job as a school teacher. See you later. And then a year went by. And again, another festival, a really potent time. Big changes were happening for me there. And I saw you again, and it's like, yo, and I similar thing. Remember you said in that village area, you're the most beautiful woman at this festival. I do remember that one. And I was like, who is this?
In the world.
It was this creepy guy. But I then messaged you a couple of days later when we got back to Auckland, New Zealand, and said, hey, you look like you know a few people. And I could do with knowing a few people. And you said, I was just speaking about you tonight, right?
Mm.
Was that what happened?
Pretty much. And yeah, I mean, how could I have imagined that things would have happened like this? And we started to recreate for ourselves. I think that's a big one. We started to create our lives. And it might sound really easy and to just sort of hear and just sort of brush past, but you can really create your existence. You can create the life you want. And we are the kind of people that will go on holiday and go, why don't we just live here all the time? If we love it so much, we'll just stay.
And you know, we weren't born with loads of money or lots of inheritance or parents who didn't need to work, or you know, like I was the first person in my family to ever get a university degree, and I had three small children, not quite a teen mum, but first baby at 20. We showed up with this extreme work like drive. Mm. So if we want to live somewhere else, it's like, how can we contribute positively and serve the people here? And how can we eat and live?
Mm. And how can we do that sustainably and from the heart?
Yeah.
You know, how can we do what we love for a living? Which always brings up incredible energy for other people to be attracted to, because there's nothing like watching someone in their stride, in their work, in their love of doing something.
And I so wasn't when you met me, right? And you sometimes need someone with a bit of push, like this guy, to be like, look, teaching, you can step out of that and let's step into something quite epic. And I thought, well, this festival idea that we have, because, you know, soon after we met, it was really, really clear that we wanted to create something. This festival idea, like, it sounds pretty and amazing, but I've got a mortgage and three children and that fear piece came up for me. But I think when you really believe in something and you're willing to sort of work crazy hours because it's fun,
and you're doing it from the right place, you know, I hear Tony Robbins talk about the push and the pull. There's a way you can live your life where you're just pushing the whole time and you get tired. But you can live life by being drawn to something, by flowing towards something. And this is what running festivals are for us. It is a huge amount of work, and you're spinning 1,000 plates with just one festival, let alone the three that we run every summer. But we know, we just have instinctively, intuitively know that it's going to be fine. We're going to manage. There's incredible community around us that need it and contribute to it. We're held by the universe. We're held by the energy of love and creation. And go for it. And it's kind of like, you don't know what that next step forward is going to look like, especially when it's scary. But all you need to know is that you're in love with it, whatever it is, whether it be the person that you're looking across from the other side of the room, or the job that's calling you, or the place to live that's calling you. You know,
I think it's like a higher vision piece as well. It's like, where do you feel this in your bones, or something that is unique enough to offer people insight into something perhaps you can only see right now, but that has the potential to greatly improve their experience of life. And if that's your goal, and that was ours, it was not at all like, okay, how do we make, you know, a couple of million and then just like get out of here and sell it. The finances, I think, although important, they have to be below that initial goal. Otherwise you're chasing the coin, not the goal, not the vision.
The why.
And the why has been something that Franco and I both see and understand. When we go to a site and we say, where is the main stage? We both know exactly where. That logo behind us, it was designed by a dear friend. We'll tell you the story about that in another episode. And we saw it and we said, this is it. He said, yeah, it is it. And there was no questioning. We can both feel this vision. There's no arguments that happen. There's no disagreements. And considering the multitude of decisions we have to make in even just a 24-hour period, to have alignment of vision that overrides any kind of egotistical right to win or victim mode or side hustle, there's just no room for it. It's like, yeah, to be custodians of such a powerful, breathing, fire-blowing beast, you have to be in both awe of it and honor of it, and also full support.
Totally. And when you step into doing something that you really love, it might be a bit lonely at the start as well, because some people just around you might not understand what you're doing, and as long as that passion, that love is in your heart, keep going forth. And like Nikki said, that we didn't get into this to make money. If we got into the festival business to make money, there would definitely be probably alcohol, waste and meat and all the other things that we don't have at this festival, because those are the big last century money making items. So we just
would have some sort of vape system or store, right, as well.
Yeah, we'd sell cigarettes and you know, and we've decided to stick to our truth and our integrity, and really show the people that we care about the people. You know, we create spaces to bring our kids to. We have five daughters between us, and we were desperately looking for somewhere to bring them a couple of times every summer where we could camp, we could learn, they could play and be safe, and we could dance the night away together as a family, and there wasn't anything out there.
I think a real beautiful bonus also for me has been seeing, you know, not only the smiling faces of my children and friends, but people who had an idea for a business, who had all this training, perhaps in the neuroscience of breath, or perhaps in Tibetan yoga, beautiful, spending years and years with monks and studying, or something like psychological disorders picked out with like the hand, you know, using the map of the hand as an intention or a guidelines for identifying ailments in the body, you know, these real niche things, and these people creating these workshops at the festival and then going on to create big businesses, workshops, ongoing training opportunities for people interested in this niche, and spreading the love and understanding and ancient wisdom, not just to them, but then to all these other people who come along, support them financially, the exchange is there. And that is powerful. So
it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding to watch the trickle down effect. People from all over the planet. It's incredible to watch where the tickets are bought for our festivals here in New Zealand. More than ever, I think right now, New Zealand is a destination that a lot of people want to be at. But it always has been, and to be able to create these festivals that people come from Japan and Spain and South America, Europe, it's really something. And I think why these transformational festivals are skyrocketing right now all over the planet is because there is a neutral element to them. You can show up and you don't have to be a certain way. No one expects anything of you. There's no fashion that you need to come and, you know, dress in. There's no religion to it. There's just turn up as yourself. And, I've rocked up in some pretty like sort of heartbroken states, like in the depth of some really, really down depressed states, and been to these spaces, and they allow me to just go through that and come out and be like, oh wow, my natural healthy self is just around the corner.
I think with the pressures of the world, you know, it's an antidote to the standard pressure that one may feel walking up High Street. It's an antidote to the pressure a man may feel who's had to carry a lot on his shoulders, or not express his true feelings. It's an antidote to the mother who's parenting in an isolated pod, concrete jungle of her house, and really, really unsure how to cope with certain behaviours of her toddler or her child. And the free range kind of feel of the festivals with the children, of course supervised by the parents, but a relaxed space where she can see other mothers reminds her that she's not alone, and maybe that's all the medicine that she needed. So this is where it began. It began at a festival, and it began with love, and it began with a joint vision. And next episode, we're going to share with you, on the eve of running our first New Zealand Spirit Festival, all the way back in 2018 now, and that festival now sells out, only 3-4 years in, the list that we came up with to make sure that we, to attempt to balance our relationship and running a huge event. And it's super funny because we haven't looked at it for a few years. I'm excited to get it out, to read it to you all, and to really bring up the discussion of running a business with your lover, working in conjunction with your beloved, because there's a link there, right? Business in the bedroom, emails answered in bed. An interesting point there. So,
and it even goes as far as working with family, like just someone that you're in relationship with. You'll get a lot from this episode. And what we're going to be doing with this podcast is branching it far beyond just Nikki and I as well, which I'm really excited about. We're going to be interviewing musicians from all over the planet that have played at our festivals, that are about to play at the next festivals. We're going to interview presenters, workshop presenters from all over the world that have presented and are about to at the next summer festivals as well, and sit down with them and really break down what they do, and give everyone a chance to understand what these incredible people do and what you could expect at the events later in the year.
Tying in the beginning that we spoke about with personal transformation, I think a lot of the musicians and the presenters have a potency to their message because they have undergone a powerful, potent transformation of some sort. And I think that a lot of us have that right around the corner, that if we're really honest, there's some things that we're avoiding perhaps because we're afraid of what might follow. And so listening to people who jumped and who were caught, or who caught themselves and discovered an incredible sense of strength and resilience within. Not only stands for inspiring listening, but also, entertainment as well.
Yeah, totally. So subscribe to this podcast, and we really look forward to you joining this adventure with us. Kia ora. To find out more about NZ Spirit, head to our websites, nzspiritfestival.com, resolutionfestival.co.nz, and nzyogaday.co.nz. Show them